So this morning I want to talk to you about why water baptism is important. I've not ministered on this in quite a while, so I just wanted to take the time to do that this morning. You can read this with me. This is what we know as the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I love this part here. He said, "And lo, I am with you always." Hallelujah. Even to the end of this age. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're never alone. God is here. God is with me." Come on, say, "God is with me." Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, and you can just leave that one screen up there. Romans 6, 4 says this. I'm going to share quite a few scriptures, so if you want to write them down, that's cool. If not, go back and listen to the live stream. But it says this: "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in" what? Newness, y'all know it, of life. Water baptism is an outward testimony of an inward salvation, and it is a believer's public declaration with the death, or a public identification rather, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I happen to think this morning I might preach this message, and some of you might want to get baptized again. That'd be okay. Amen. You can go home wet. Water baptism is one of the most beautiful and powerful moments in the life of a believer. Salvation takes place through faith in Jesus Christ, because we're not saved by our works. You don't get saved by joining a church. You don't get saved, become saved just by being a better person. You're not saved just because we dunk you in the baptismal pool. Here's what Ephesians says about salvation in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." What is it? It is the gift of God, not a result of your works, so that nobody can boast about it. Salvation is a gift of grace received through faith. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Aren't you glad he was buried? And on the third day, church, he rose again. Now, when a sinner repents and believes in Jesus Christ and confesses him as Lord, that person is forgiven and made new. Water baptism doesn't create salvation, but here's what it does. It openly declares salvation. It's the believer's testimony that the old life has been buried, and guess what? A new life has begun. It's an act of obedience that identifies us with Jesus Christ. It tells the church, it tells the world, it tells even your enemy that we now belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad I belong to him. Aren't you? I'm glad he's my Lord. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stood before a crowd. They were in Jerusalem. And what did he do? He preached the gospel, much like I'm doing here this morning. He told them about Jesus. He told them about his crucifixion. He told them about his resurrection. And then what happened? The Holy Spirit began to convict, and he fell upon their hearts with conviction. And here's what Acts chapter 2 tells us. "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles that were there, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" Here's what Peter's response was. He said, "To repent." I want to say that one more time. "Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And here's what he said: "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then it reads on. "So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day were added about 3,000 souls." Man, what a baptismal service that must have been. 3,000 souls. They heard the gospel. They received the word. What did they do? They repented. They believed. And then they were baptized. So water baptism begins with salvation. Because it says those who gladly received his word were baptized. Now, they first received the word. They believed the message that Peter was preaching to them, had preached to them. They accepted this truth that Jesus Christ had died for their sins and he was risen from the dead. I think sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we get so busy in church, we get so busy going about the work of the church and living life, we forget that Jesus Christ died for us. Come on now, we forget that Jesus Christ was buried for us. And we forget that he rose again for us. Amen? Their baptism followed their faith. This order is important. Water baptism is for those who have personally trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The water doesn't wash away the guilt of sin. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse the human heart. Here's what John said in 1 John. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. I want to tell you this morning, I don't care how long you've been serving God or if you've not been serving God at all. I want to tell you right now that there is a cleansing power called the blood of Jesus Christ that's here right now that can set you free from the hold, the stronghold of sin in your life. Even Revelation 1 and 5, the word declares that Jesus loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's no saving power in ordinary water. In fact, I want Annie to come lay in the baptism pool right now just so that nothing happens. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because I know he might would have done it. Water can touch the body, but only Jesus can transform the heart. That's why repentance and faith must come first. What is repentance? It's simply turning away from your sin and turning toward God. It's not just feeling sorry for what you've done wrong. It's changing. Come on now. You got to change. How many people come down to the altar, Rita, and they'll cry and they'll weep, but they'll get up unchanged? I'm not interested in your tears. I'm interested in your heart. I'm interested in the fact of whether or not you have turned your heart from this world, from sin, towards God. That's repentance. Because that will tell you right there, I'm not going to go back and do those same things over again. I'm going to give up this and give up that because I repent and turn away from it. It means placing complete, absolute trust in Jesus Christ. It's more than feeling sorry. It means believing that his death was enough. His death was sufficient to pay for our sins, and that his resurrection gives us new life. Because Romans 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's word to you this morning. I said, that's God's word to you this morning. Salvation is personal. No one can believe for someone else. No one can repent for another person. No one can surrender another person's life to Christ. Each person must personally respond to him. You're not going to get to heaven on your mama or your daddy or your brother. You get to heaven on your own because you made a decision to follow Christ. It starts with you. And water baptism becomes meaningful because something has already happened within us. See, the believer enters the water and he says, Jesus has saved me. That's what you're telling us. My sins have been forgiven. The old life, I like this, no longer defines me. That ought to touch somebody's heart this morning. My old life no longer defines me. And what you think about me doesn't define me. What anybody else thinks about me doesn't define me. It's what I think about myself based on what he's done for me. Come on now. Because I belong to Jesus Christ. Baptism is not an attempt to earn salvation. It's an act of obedience because salvation has already been received. Now, water baptism begins as an inward work of grace, but it's also a powerful picture of what Jesus has done for us. Because water baptism, it identifies us with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a great picture of the gospel. When a believer is lowered beneath the water, it represents burial. When a believer is raised up out of the water, it represents resurrection and new life. Hallelujah. Jesus died, he was buried, and guess what? Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. And through baptism, the believer is publicly, you're telling the world, you're telling your family, you're telling your friends, you're telling your enemies that you are publicly identifying with the work of Jesus Christ. So going beneath the water declares that the old life, the old you, the old person you were is now buried. Some of y'all been letting the devil try to resurrect some stuff in your life that's dead. Come on now. You need to put that stuff to death. And rising up out of that water declares that a new life has begun. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. And the Amplified says it, that when you accept Jesus Christ, you become a new creation. And the Amplified words is something like this. It says, now a new species of being that's never before existed is alive. Hallelujah. It's a new you. Quit letting the devil tell you that your past is greater than who you are right now. Salvation is not merely adding Jesus to an unchanged life. Salvation brings spiritual resurrection. You're not the same person you were. I said, you're not the same person you were. I think I just, for some reason, I want to drive that home today. Yes. Quit letting your past define you. Yes. Quit letting your past dictate your future. Because before Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were all separated from God. You weren't worthy enough. Nothing you could do to be worthy enough. You couldn't come to church every time the doors opened. That ain't enough. Amen? You could offer to cut the grass. You could offer to cut the pastor's grass. That ain't enough. It helps, but it ain't enough. Because we're separated from God because of our sin. We're controlled by the desires of the flesh and influenced by the ways of the world around us. Church, quit letting the devil dictate your life. Quit letting the devil dictate your actions. How? When you yield to temptation, when you do things contrary to Scripture, you are giving him the upper hand. I don't know about you. I don't need the devil having any kind of upper hand in my life. It's hard enough as it is. But I want to tell you this morning, we need to, as Christians, as followers, as disciples. We like to use that word, don't we? I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not just a church attender. I don't just have my name on the roll. I'm a disciple. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that for just a minute. What does a disciple do? A disciple lays down his life. A disciple takes up his cross. A disciple follows Jesus. If Jesus said, do it, a disciple does it. If Jesus said, don't do it, a disciple doesn't do it. Are y'all hearing me this morning? A disciple prays. A disciple seeks God. A disciple turns to God with everything they've got. A disciple says, I don't want this world. This world ain't my home no more. My home is a heavenly home. I don't know if I've got 5 years, 5 minutes, or 5 seconds left here, but I do know this, when my body breathes its last breath, I know where I'm going. Amen. Hallelujah. So why in the world would I let this world dictate to me how I'm going to live? But Pastor, you just don't know. You don't know the pressure I'm under to do this thing. But I do know this. I know who can give you strength to overcome it if you make up your mind. Come on. Problem is, we yield too much. We throw in the towel so quick. The devil said, you didn't even put up a fight. Come on. I'm getting off track. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I happen to believe that when the word comes out of this pulpit, no matter whether it's me or someone else, if they're in the spirit, then every word spoken is for a reason, for a purpose. And so these words go forth. Like we said, I believe Wednesday night we were talking about this, how the word that is preached goes forth and does what it set out, what it was sent to accomplish. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, aren't you glad of that? Because of his great love, which he loved us with, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace, you have been saved. Yes. Jesus doesn't simply, I'm so glad, he doesn't simply improve the old person. He gives us a whole new life. And baptism illustrates that transformation. The old person goes down, the new person comes up. The old guilt is gone, old condemnation is gone, and the old spiritual identity you had is what? It's gone. And when the believer rises up, he rises up as someone who's been redeemed, who's been reconciled, who's been forgiven, and here you go, who's been accepted by God. Whew. Does it mean you're never going to struggle again? It doesn't mean that you're not going to face temptation, that it's going to disappear. Or that spiritual growth automatically happens. But what it does mean is this. I've got this marked in red here. It means that sin is no longer our master. I could close with that. Sin is no longer our master. I know that side got it. I'm not sure about this side. Sin is no longer your master. That was better. The old life no longer owns me. I might look the same, but I ain't the same. Right? Wouldn't it be nice if we accept Jesus Christ, we drop 20 pounds in an instant? We'd be having baptismal services every week, that were the case. Who needs those drug shots? We'll just repent, get baptized, and lose weight, praise the Lord. What a great program that would be. We have been unified with Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be what? Be slaves to sin. You know what baptism is? It is a spiritual line of declaration for you. It announces that I am no longer a slave to my past. Hallelujah. You know, some of us carry labels. And those labels are generally put on us by other people. Right? We get called failures, addicts, hopeless. How about this one? Damaged, rejected, unwanted, unworthy. Anybody ever carried any of those labels in your life? But here's the good news for us this morning. The gospel gives the believer a new identity. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are accepted. In Christ, you've been adopted into His family. In Christ, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Christ, you are this. You are a child of the Most High God. Glory to God. I love my earthly family with all my heart. I love them. I love my mom. I love my dad. But I want to tell you, I love my Heavenly Father because He's the one that I can't wait to see one day. Praise God. So when a believer comes up out of the baptism of water, the testimony is clear. My past has been buried and my future belongs to God. Because Colossians 2 and 12, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. You see how baptism is tied in to Jesus Christ? The emphasis remains upon faith. Got to have faith in the working of God. God saves, God forgives, and it is God that raises us to new life. But baptism is your visible testimony of that invisible miracle that takes place. And here's my last point this morning. It's really hot up here on the stage, so I'm trying to bring this to a close. I might jump in that pool myself. Water baptism is simply a public declaration of allegiance to Jesus Christ. I read this scripture at the beginning, and I didn't add the first part of that, verse 18. Jesus spoke to them, and He said this, "All authority has been given unto Me." Where? In heaven? That's good to know, right? Right? But He said, also, it's been given to Me on earth. The devil is not in control. Did y'all hear what I said? The devil is not in control. So if the devil is not in control and we allow him to push us around, aren't we kind of stupid? Jesus says, because the next word Jesus says, he says, go. Go. In other words, He's saying, here's My authority in heaven and earth. I'm giving you that same authority to go. But we stand and we let the devil push us around. I can imagine sometimes God is going, what's wrong with these people? I've given them what they need. We got the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We've got the Word of God. Amen. We've got prayer. We've got praise and worship that steals the avenger. My Bible says that when you open your mouth in praise to God, it makes the devil shut up. So what do? We take that thought and we twist it. And instead of going, praise God from whom all blessings flow, we start saying, oh, the devil is messing up my life. We got it backwards here. Don't you see what I'm saying? We got it backwards. Let's get it in order. You are anointed. If you are a believer, you are anointed to destroy the works of the devil just like Jesus did. My Bible says of how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing, how many? All who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I want to tell you here on a Sunday morning, my friends, that you are not walking this planet alone. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. And when the devil comes and tries to manipulate your mind, he tries to manipulate your body, he tries to do these things to you to mess you up, you need to take your spiritual authority and put him in his place. Where is his place? Where is his place? I tell you where, it's not on your back. Brother Jimmy, his place is under your feet. Oh, y'all shouting me down now, but wait about Tuesday. After you read that post someone wrote about you on social media, Pam thinks she's all that. And a bag of chips. She thinks she's got it. She thinks she's somebody. But I know something about Pam, and I'm going to tell the world. And the devil will take that mess and use that against you, Pam. His purpose is to destroy you. It is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his method. That's a biblical method of the enemy. Jesus said that. The thief comes to do what? Steal. But why did Jesus come? So that you could have what?
Life.
And have it how?
More abundant.
Oh, y'all getting the word. So if you let little things drag you down all the time, you ain't living in Zoe life. That word there, word Zoe in the Greek, means it means the God kind of life. I think God has a pretty good setup there in heaven, don't you?
Amen.
Now, I am not stupid. I'm not up here trying to tell you that if you accept Jesus, your life is going to be, you know, cheesy. It's going to be wonderful, great. Everything's going to work out in your favor. Fact is, when you accept Jesus Christ, you might as well just prepare your heart, because all hell is going to break loose against you. Because the devil hates, not that he hates you so much, he hates God. He hates Jesus. His ultimate goal is to do everything he can to stop Jesus, and he would do that by trying to attack you. Me. So the devil's trying to use me to get to him. I don't want to be that in-between person. When the devil comes to mess with me, I want to look him in the face and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You hear me? You have no business in my business. That step's getting higher and higher, I think. I don't know if I could have made it if I tried it. Jesus says, there's a line in this right here. Jesus says, and I'm bringing this to a close. Where am I at? Go make disciples and do this. Watch this. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a commandment. That's not an option. That's part of the gospel. It was commanded by Jesus. It's part of the Great Commission, and it's a part of disciple-making processes. A disciple is more than someone who agrees with certain facts about Jesus. A disciple of Jesus follows him, learns from him, obeys him, and openly identifies with him. So water baptism is one of the first things you should do, because it is one of the first public acts of obedience that you can do. There's a private side to salvation, right? The Holy Spirit deals with the heart. Conviction is personal. Repentance is personal. Faith is personal. But there is a public side to salvation. Jesus didn't call us to a secret discipleship. He called us to openly follow him. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But you know what it also says? That if you deny him, thank you, Michelle. Michelle's my preaching partner. What did you say, Michelle? He will deny him. Water baptism is a public confession. It declares boldly and proudly and openly that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I've turned away from my old life, my former life, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am now a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. The greatest family there is, I'm telling you. Some of y'all have great families. Y'all have great family gatherings. But let me tell you, there's a family gathering about to happen. Woo! There's a marriage supper being prepared even right now, I believe. I hear the Spirit saying, you better get ready. You're invited. You're invited. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're invited. In the early church, I got like 4 minutes, so hang on. In the early church, baptism carried a great cost. A person who was baptized, they could face rejection from their family. They could experience social isolation, financial loss, even persecution. Some even cost them their very life. Because baptism meant taking an open stand with Jesus Christ. That same public meaning exists today. Because you know what? Culture, the culture we live in today, often encourages us to keep our faith private. But biblical Christianity can't be reduced to a public opinion. Jesus calls us to live our faith out openly, faithfully, and unashamedly. I love Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is a power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles, to the Greek. So here's a key point. Baptism connects the believer to the visible body of Christ. Acts 2 says, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls to the church. They did not receive Jesus and then live disconnected from other believers. They became part of a worshiping, praying, learning, serving fellowship. Because the Bible says in 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. They were gathering and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So baptism marked the beginning of a new life with a new spiritual family. The Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. We need the church. I need the church. We need biblical teaching. We need fellowship. We need prayer. We need accountability. We need encouragement, right? And we need opportunities to serve. So water baptism declares that we belong to Christ and that we are becoming a part of his people, the family of God. So it's not a graduation from the Christian life. It's the beginning of your walk of discipleship. He chooses to rise. The person who chooses baptism chooses to rise from the water and walk with Jesus every day. We choose to pray, to worship, to study scripture, to resist temptation, to love others, to serve the church, to honor the word, to share the gospel. So baptism is the beginning, not the ending. Would you stand? I'm going to ask our young ladies if you